So tell me about your childhood.
I'm no psychologist, but that was definitely a cry for help.
It was actually quite traumatic.
Oh my gosh, trauma alert.
I definitely did that for attention.
I had a great relationship with my parents, I think.
Hey. Oh, welcome to the pod. Oh my God, oh my happy God. Halloween.
Ooh. Halloween's tomorrow.
Spooky, spooky, spooky.
I'm so scared.
Gosh. I know. I'm amped. Oh my God, we're so excited about our guest today.
Oh my gosh. Yes. She is not spooky. She is beautiful.
She is gorgeous.
So talented.
So funny. I'm obsessed with her.
Voice of an angel. I'm sorry.
She plays piano, just stand up, literally. Oh, okay, wait. Let's also add, she used to run a show.
Yeah.
Pre-pandemic called Left Breast Comedy Hour. Let me tell you, I have bombed at that show so many times and I am so grateful just to be a part of it. Let me tell you.
Women doing comedy.
It's a good ass time.
That's right.
And she's so funny. We love her. We love her. We love her. She's a dear friend. Introducing Kim Dinero. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Hi. That was the best intro I've ever received for anything.
Not to brag, but we keep getting that, you know?
Everybody says that, and I gotta tell you, we're just improvising.
It's part of our craft, so we're improvisers. We're so excited to have you, Kim. So you said not that much is going on, so how is your life currently? You live with one of the guests that we've already had.
That's right. You live with Alicia Hush, who was a guest of ours.
I do. Yeah. Alicia and I are like ships in the night, ghosts in our home, you know?
I love it. Do you guys see each other a lot or?
I mean, not really, no.
That's what that means, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty chill. I like it.
We see each other in the morning, give each other a head nod of recognition and love.
Nice.
And then sometimes she leaves the house and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe you're going outside. And she's like, I can't believe it either. I sort of feel like I'm like her weird mom and she's my teen. And so I'm just like, did you have a nice night out, honey? And she's like, I mean, I went outside and because I don't leave anymore. I'm like, I've become a hermit. So,
I mean, I have to say, Kim, like I'm literally desperate to hang out with you constantly. and I literally try to make it happen as often as possible. And you're very elusive. And
that's not true. I was
hard
really
to pin you down. It's hard to pin you down.
I was the last one at your birthday party. I overstayed my welcome so hard, like to the point where everyone was like, you should leave.
And no. Kim, oh my God. Let me just say, Kim is a dear friend. At my birthday party, I was so wasted. She organized all my stuff along with my friend Alyssa.
That's so sweet. You guys
organized all my shit, put it in bags, and then
how much stuff did you have there?
There was a lot of shit.
Yeah. You had bread that someone gave you.
Oh my God, that bread was so good. Yeah. But Kim organized everything and then paid for my entire dinner. Come on.
Oh my God, Kim.
I mean,
what a heart.
You're an angel. And she took like gorgeous photos of me. Not to brag.
I had to do something for staying so long. Everyone has the normal sign of like, okay, we're leaving the party now. And I just never get that because I never go out anymore. So I'm like, I'm out. I gotta stay out. Like, I can't go back.
I know. I literally was so glad that you stayed. I journaled about it. I journaled.
Oh my God,
I'm such
a
loser. Oh, you made the journal. I was like, Kim stayed till the end. She's amazing.
You know? I remember that. I read that journal.
Oh, I'm such a narcissist. On my actual birthday, I called Jessica and I was like, can I read you my journal? And she was like, yeah.
I was like, sure, I just woke up.
Wow. Yeah,
and it was like kind of long. And I was like, oh my God, Jess is such a good friend. I can't.
I'm really jealous because Sally Ann just started like journaling for anyone, for any of the listeners. Sally Ann is
we'd love to have her on as well.
Oh, we're
gonna comedy
have her on.
Partner. And she will not let me read her diary. And to the point where I got like mad about it. And she was like, it's a diary. Like no one can read it, obviously. Like, why are you mad? And I was like, because I assumed that like I could read it.
Right.
And she was like, no, I say really mean stuff about you. And I was like, that's fair,
shit.
Honestly.
Oh my gosh, Sally Ann.
Mean stuff.
I mean,
she was like,
that's what people do in a diary. And I was like,
I think diary's different than journaling.
Well, no, it's like the same fucking thing. It is. Okay. No. I mean, in my opinion, I think it's just like, you're a narcissist and that's all, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think to give her credit, she was probably just like, it's weird that you want to read my diary, which is completely
I went to my friend Jen's house. I went to my friend Jen Clark, who we're friends with. She was on the podcast.
She was also on the pod.
She's amazing. Friends. Oh my God, we have so many friends. It's just so exciting.
You guys are so popular and loved.
Well, yeah. okay. So anyway, moving on. I agree. And so Jen, I was at her house and we were, you know, fucked up, obviously. And she had her shelf of journals and I just started reading them all of them out loud to her. Just upset. I just like love reading people's diaries. And I feel like the purpose of a journal is like to literally like turn it into a production. You know what I mean? The point is to turn it into a visible public production, which is why I have my Dear Diary show.
Yeah.
Which you've both done, you know? So
it's the best. I love that show. I love Mortified. I love anything diary related.
It's so good. Mm-hmm.
Think that when I used to journal, I would write to the audience like that would read it one day.
Very performative.
I literally thought I was Anne Frank and I lived in suburban Massachusetts. I was like, my story will be told around the world one day. Like, everyone will read this.
Kim, I felt the same way.
Which is, like, that's truly incredible. Insane. Like, and
it's insane, yeah. I still kind of feel that way.
Yeah, me too. I think
my life is still going, so there's still time, you know? There's still time.
I remember I wrote something recently that was, like, I said it, and I was like, wow, that just sounded like I was about to end it all right here. If anyone's reading this, and I happen to be dead, and I wrote it, and I'm like, how dark would it be if someone actually found this, and I died? Like,
Oh, my journals are so dark. Like, literally, like, one day, like, in the quarantine, one day will be like, I feel amazing. You know, like, an angel has visited me, like, in my dreams. And the next day is like, I should kill myself, you know? Like, it's so fucking dramatic.
Dark.
Yeah.
But I love it.
I go back and forth with that as well. And then I tell myself that, like, everyone is like that. I'm like, oh, everyone is just, like, you know, manic depressive.
Of course. Most people in comedy are. That's what I
assume. Like, whatever.
When people get a lot of shit done, I'm like, oh, that's probably because you're in a manic episode. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, there's no way that you're like stable and aren't like emotionally like horrible inside, you know?
Right. So, I mean, I feel like
when you follow a lot of comedians and you just see, it's like, it's not unique anymore to be like manic depressive. It's like,
I know.
When you know so many comedians, it's like, find a new personality.
You
like,
know what's so funny? That's so true because literally, Kim, I have this memory of hanging out with you. We were at the creek. Okay.
I'm scared.
No. It's funny. We were at the creek. We were like getting drunk. I think it's before I dragged you to like that party at Sue and Drew's house.
Then left me there.
And then abandoned you and then just went off somewhere.
And I didn't leave that party either because I never leave a party and it's a problem.
I love it. I love it. So anyway, I remember being like, Kim, you know, someone diagnosed me as bipolar. And you're like, Maggie, everybody's bipolar. Like, I was like, oh shit. I just got fucking roasted. She's like, nobody gives a fuck. Okay. We
that's
all
are. Not what you're I was not saying. I wasn't said. Trying to say that no one cares.
No. That's not what, I know.
You're just like, try a new mental disorder.
Yeah. You're not fucking special. I mean,
and try a new mental illness.
Yeah, I know. It's like so lame. Wait, can we discuss Halloween?
Yes.
Halloween is
I know
tomorrow.
You're very excited.
I mean, I'm so fucking amped. What is everybody doing? What's going on? What's the plan?
Oh my God.
Well, Halloween. Kim, are you staying in? It sounds like you might be staying in.
Oh my God. I do nothing. It's so pathetic. I feel like everyone has these like rich social lives now. Like people are ignoring the pandemic and they're just like, okay, we're out.
You shouldn't be.
And I agree. Like, I don't think we should, but also I'm like so enjoying not doing anything. So I think if it's like, if it's hard for you to be a hermit, then I'm like, I get it. But for me, I'm like, it's easy. So I will do the public service of not hanging out with anyone.
Well, if you, that this brings me back to my point earlier, which is that I try to hang out with you like every day, I feel, and I fail every time, but I'm always like, Alicia, like, what's Kim doing? And she's like, oh, well, you know, she's building furniture tonight. And I'm like, okay.
To be fair, that's true.
She said you were rollerblading too. She's I gotta go rollerblading.
Yeah, I was like, Kim's fucking rollerblading down the street. That's cool for us.
That's like, all I do. Like, I literally, I rollerblade. I work 9 to 5 now, which is so weird. because I used to be a bartender, and now and then I just rollerblade. I rollerblade after work around the McCarran Park track, and I'm like crazy about it. And I get like in racer mode, like I put my arms behind my back, and I'm just like loop around.
Wait, you, side note, you have a full-time job, or what is, what are you doing?
What's your job? Wait, I think I know what your job is, but go ahead.
I work at Some eCards now. I freelance write for them, which is really fun.
That's amazing.
Oh, that's nice. That's good for you. Dream to have a job that you can stay at home post-pandemic too, you know, it'll sustain itself.
Yeah,
that's right.
Great.
That's
it's so much better than bartending. Unfortunately, like a quarter, maybe a third of the money.
Isn't that so shitty?
Here we are.
Yeah, you were telling me the bartending drama. Like, will you go back? Will you not? Like,
that's going to be tough.
I mean, I feel like no one knows anymore. It's like, I don't want to, I don't know if I want to work in the service industry when there isn't a vaccine, just because I know how gross it already was. Like, doing that's Adderall so off of everybody's tits. Like,
were you at the duplex too?
No. I worked at it. I worked at another place for way too long.
Another place with tits out.
Another place where they sang?
No singing. Oh. It was just like it's like a cocktail lounge. Lots of dudes. Mm.
Love it.
So that's where the money came from. Ugh.
Yeah, and I miss it. I miss having money.
Fuck, I miss being objectified.
Well, you know, I was telling Kim like that I've said this on the pod before, that I've been selling nudes to an old man. And
I love that.
Go ahead. But I will say I just edited that episode and I think it's about 30 minutes about the nudes.
Maybe I shouldn't mention it again. Clearly I have nothing going
on. Mention it to Kim. Tell Kim.
No, I just want to note that Kim was the only person who was like, you should charge him $3,000 for a photo. I was like, I think that's a little over the top. But like other women I told, which was like 9 women, by the way, they were all like, no, my God, like 300 is good, you know. And Kim was like, 3,000, you know.
I think it's great.
You know,
demand as high as possible, because these people, I mean, if they're gonna just DM you out of nowhere and be like, I want to see your puss, they'll probably do a lot for it. And if you say no, it's like, okay, then I'll go lower, but start high, negotiate.
You're so right. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I DM'd him and I was like, would you like to see my puss? But so it was the other way around, but you know, whatever.
I mean, whatever. That's like when people ask to be on your show and then they eat shit. It's like, okay, wait, hold on.
Yeah. Oh my God. I literally do that all the time. I'm like, can you please do your show? And then I fucking bomb and they're like, why do we book this desperate bitch? Like, what is wrong with her? You know? So whatever.
I doubt any man though is receiving a nude and saying, why did I agree to have this be sent to me? I'm sure
they're always like, actually, I feel like some men like might be like, oh, I can't believe I paid this much money for like this shit. Why don't you just go on Pornhub and see the same shit, you know? But
I don't know. It has to feel special though that you bought it and it was just sent to you.
Then I do say like Rick, you know, Rick.
Yeah. is his name really Rick?
Yeah.
Are you just like not hiding this information?
I mean, he doesn't know my last name. Actually, he might. I mean, I don't really care. Like, it is what it is. Whatever. I love it.
You're out there, Maggie. You put it out there.
I try.
I always worry, like, my parents are going to, like, you know, figure out my life. And
oh, my God. My parents have figured it out, and they're really disappointed, so.
Well, my parents are disappointed in what they just know of me. So I feel like if they find out what I actually am, they'll be like, oh, my God, we can't. We have to throw her off the ledge.
That's so funny.
I feel like your parents, though, Maggie, encourage it. You know, they know
my parents are very sweet and they love me and like they just kind of disassociate from like from like what I do. You know, they're just like, we're just happy that she's doing what she wants to do. You know,
I mean
that's very rare for parents. You know, and I'm just grateful. I'm like, okay, I'm grateful.
That's really true. Nice.
Yeah.
So Kim, your parents, where did you grow up and what kind of parents did you have? We're going to slip in, baby. Mm-hmm. And then we can also go back to Halloween. Okay. Tell us about your parents, then Halloween, then we'll dive into your
job.
Okay. So yeah, I grew up in suburban Massachusetts, really small town called Grafton. Like our only claim to fame is that filmed a movie there.
What movie?
Do you remember?
Wilderness.
I don't know that movie.
No one does. Movie,
but the town sounds familiar.
Oh my God.
Is there a college there? Like around there?
Well, Worcester is like our main city.
Worcester. Okay, got it.
But lots of colleges there. Worcester. So, yeah, but
are you a mass hole or what?
Yeah, I was a super mass hole. I went to like my graduating high school class had like only 200 kids in it. So I was just
small.
It was so small. I had like such a different view of the world. And then I went to college in New York and I was like, I'm actually not good at anything. So this was really alarming for me, which someone told me like mean theater teachers would be like, oh, you're the star of like your high school productions. And when you get to, you know, the real world, you're going to have a big rude awakening. And I was like, no, I will not. I will.
Yeah.
Cartwheel into Hollywood. I will be a teen pop star. It's going to be fine. And then literally 1 week in New York, I was like, I want to be an accountant. Like, I want to quit so fast. And I'm still like, it's been a decade. I'm still like, I should be an accountant.
Oh, but, 1,000%.
That's so funny.
I wish everyone had that realization, though, because then there'd be less.
I mean, it's never too late to be an accountant straight up. Like, I mean, you could, like...
It was a lawyer, and I was like, I should switch to accountant because of that. It's less school. So, but I am horrible at math, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh my god,
But yeah, my parents were like pretty chill. They like made me go to church, which I hated, but they were like, okay, she's weird. Like I would ask them to go to bed and stuff. I would just like read books in my room. I got straight A's, and I would like cry hysterically if I would get a B. And they were like, yeah, no, I was not cool. Like I would just cry all the time in school.
If you didn't get good grades.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, like we did like multiplication, you know, those like multiple time, like time tests, the multiplication. We had to go through the levels, like the sixes and the sevens and the eights, and all my friends were on the nines and I was still on the sevens, and I just would lose it. Like I would just lose it in class.
Oh shit.
My teacher would call my parents and be like, I think she maybe has an anxiety disorder, and you know, 20 years later, undiagnosed. So we don't know. It's really unclear. I like love
you're not special, Kim. If you have anxiety, you're not
special. We all have anxiety disorder.
Really, someone was telling me today, they were like, Kim, not everybody has OCD. Like, you need to stop saying that everybody has mental illness. And I'm like, I should.
Wait, do you feel like you have OCD too? Because I know you're very clean, right?
Like, yeah, I think I for sure have OCD.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I can't sleep if there's dishes in the sink and stuff.
Oh my God. Yeah, wow. You wouldn't be happy with where I am right now.
Well, to be fair, it's mostly like, I mean, I'm unorganized. Like, I'm cluttered and stuff. Mm. But if it's like vermin based stuff, then
you wouldn't be happy where I am.
Still, like,
I gotta tell you, I mean, it's not great, you know.
It's only because of the trauma of the city, you know. I think it's like, if I hadn't had, you know, like the roaches and the stuff, all the stuff.
Do you ever have a rat problem?
Oh my God, I've had everything. Mm-hmm, I mean, every problem that you can have. Oh wait,
that song that you wrote about, that was so good and so funny. The song about the rat.
Like, it was crazy. I like my first apartment with my college roommate, who I love a lot. She, one time I saw a mouse like came out from under my bed, and I called her and I was like, hey, we have mice. And she was like, yeah, I saw that mouse. Like, and she just didn't tell me.
Oh,
and she was like, okay. I just figured that it would go home. And I was like,
This is its home.
It lives with us now. We need to kill it.
So she was chill about it. And you're like,
so chill. And a lot of people are, which I respect because, you know, I've been vegetarian for years. And I was like 5, and my brother like explained slaughter to me so graphically that okay, I'm gonna stop eating meat. And then eventually I just, you know, stuck with it. So
eventually, you mean for 25 years?
Yeah, for a long time.
So when's the last time you ate meat? Like, has it been literally 20 years?
I had a bite of bacon tortellini at my prom by accident because I thought it was just reg. Mostly by accident. Like, someone gave me a sausage and it was supposed to be vegan sausage. And then they comped the whole brunch, which is great because we got drunk for free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you. I do feel like, you know, chicken and beef. I just feel like I'm destroying myself slowly, like with every bite. I mean,
it's like being a hermit. It's like, if it's easy for you, then I would say do it. Good for you.
I know. Like, I wish I had any morals attached to anything I do in my life. I mean, right. That would be good. That would be great, you know, to have like any kind of opinion about anything. Okay.
No, it's annoying. I was annoying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, in seventh grade, I printed out all these like pictures of chickens with their beaks cut off in slaughterhouses, oh, and like would tape them like as a form of activism all over the like chalkboards at the school.
Warrior, social justice warrior.
Oh my god! If I had seen that, I'd be like, I think I would have like ripped it down and be like, "Fuck him!" Like,
like people were mad.
Hey team, just gotta interrupt for a hot second. This is not an advertisement. We're not there yet. We're not at that level yet. We will get there. We're not there yet. This is more just a brief apology. We haven't apologized in a while. While we were recording this episode, my internet went out, and therefore we lost just a little chunk, not a big chunk, a little chunk of Kim's memes. She briefly talks about how she was pro-life just because she loved animals so much. As a good Christian woman, but now she's very pro-choice. She wants those chickens to get abortions because it's their choice. As Kim continues to tell us about her childhood pop star self, she asks us if we know the singer Amy Grant, and Maggie and I did not know who that was. She was a singer-songwriter, and that is a vital piece of information you will know to hear the rest of the story. And I'll stop talking and let Kim continue.
Yeah. So I would have my friends at lunch like go around and be like, okay, today at lunch, we're all going to write a song. And they would be like, okay, all right, whatever. And there was like a pretty awful like tragedy in Worcester where these like firemen died. And my friend wrote this really cute song about them. And I was like, okay, that's really pretty. Here's my song. And it was just Amy Grant's Grown Up Christmas.
Oh my God.
And everyone at the table was like, wow, Kim, like, that's really good. Like, your song is good. And looking back, like, my friend's song about the firefighters was stunning and touching.
Oh my
much,
God.
Much better. But I was just like, yeah, so that's my song, but it's Amy Grant's song. And everyone was like, oh my God, like, Kim is like a pop songwriter. And I started teaching voice lessons at recess. And
oh my God. Did you start charging people?
God.
I wish I was that like financially savvy. I was just like, no, I'm a voice teacher now. I'm like a pop songwriter. So everyone should like line. And I had people line up and like take voice lessons from me. Like I had a tree where I would be like, these are where my voice lessons are. Everyone come to the tree. And I would make them like exhibit their talent. So like they came.
Oh my God.
So like people would come up to me and I'd be like, okay, so like, what are you interested in? And they would be like, I really like hula hooping. And I'd be like, okay, so today we're going to work on hula hooping. And I would like tie it into singing, but also like give notes about hula hooping, which is so amazing. Crazy because I don't consider myself like very confident now, especially with like note giving or like
right.
Even saying I'm good at anything, but apparently I was good at literally everything enough to give tips when I was in
wow,
first grade.
Kim.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. So then the lies just like kept going. Like, I would say that I was Jewish. That was a big one because
oh,
was, like,
let's dive into that one. What was that about, Kim?
There was like no Jewish kids at my school, so I just wanted to be different. So I was like,
oh,
Jewish. And I also like really wanted to celebrate Hanukkah. I was like, oh, because there were so many kids that celebrated
that.
Both. So I was like, I want,
right.
I get to do that.
Wow.
That was one. And yeah, I was just a liar. And I wish that I stopped. But then I started doing stand up and it's like, I feel like I have to lie a little bit.
Yeah. I literally, and nothing I say is real on stage. Yeah. Nothing.
The fact that you had a heart of gold and you wanted to save all these animals and you wanted to save all these lives, but then you were a liar and manipulative. Like, I love that little juxtaposition.
So I know. What a stark contrast.
Right?
I'm so into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh,
I definitely would have been like one of the bitches like under that tree being like, give me some tips, you know, like I would have been so excited that there was like a local voice teacher, you know,
like, my age. I really thought I was like like good at every kind of art. Like I was really into drawing and I loved drawing, but and then I bailed on that completely. But I would like draw everyone's illustrations for their like published books. Like we had to write these little books and then we'd get them published by like the moms that would volunteer to duct tape them. And I'd be like, guys, don't worry. Like I'll give you voice lessons at recess. I'll give you hula hooping lessons and I'll also illustrate all of your books for you. So I would just like do homework in exchange for math stuff. Cause I was so bad at math and I would cry.
Wow.
So I would exchange, like they would help me with the math and I would illustrate all their books.
This is just so great.
I love that you had this idea that you were like, well, I'm the best at everything. And then that sustained itself until you got to New York and you still are the best at everything. But
I mean,
that was like a thing you had as a kid.
Yeah. I mean, I think it definitely had a lot to do with like my dad was a musician and
we love he definitely parents.
Really wanted us to be like mainstream successful because he played music and then he became like a portfolio manager and worked in finance and like did music on the side. Like we had like a recording studio in our basement that was really cool.
Oh, cool.
But like I remember writing a song. I was always writing songs. And he would be like, okay, so like this song, I don't think that like a word like optimism would be good for like the radio.
Oh and, like, my God.
Would, and like he would give us notes, like pop notes. And I would be like, okay, yeah, totally. Like I thought, I thought that like my life was going to be like Leanne Rimes or something.
Right,
like
right.
I definitely thought that I was going to be a pop star. And like, I was like, Miley it's just Cyrus. Inevitable.
Yeah.
Wow. Your dad really wanted commercial success. Maybe that has something to do with the fact, I mean, obviously, that he didn't achieve that in his life.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it was that, but it was also, like, whatever we wanted, we just had to be the best at it, and we had to be, like, make it our career. So it wasn't necessarily, like, it had to be music, but, like, if I took up an interest in ice skating, he'd be like, okay, so, like, how is ice skating going to be your path?
Oh my God, that's so stressful.
That's that's tough dadding.
Well, I wanted it so bad, though, so it, like, I think it was okay. Like, I remember, like, my friend wrote a song that was we would all sing together and do harmonies. And it was like kind of shitting on like the media. It was really deep for like a fourth grader. It was like one of the lyrics was like, what happens when your heroes are only images projected by the screen? And it was like, whoa.
Okay. That's like really fucking good.
It was,
okay.
It was
honestly
great.
That, I mean, like, can
what
you sing
star.
More of it? Can
yeah.
you sing more of it?
Do you remember the thing?
Yeah. What happens when your heroes are only images projected by the screen and their lives have been lies? You lived your whole life wanting to be just like them, not knowing what you're doing to yourself.
Wow.
So wait a minute, like, this is so still applicable to like my life, like
so yeah, really? we had crazy deep songs, like our main song was My Opponent That's On My Team, which went, you're my opponent that's on my team, you're my enemy but
so
my lifelong
deep.
dream, you're my baby but one thing is true, I do love you.
Oh my God.
Okay, that's also really deep too. Like,
why don't you resurface these?
I mean, they were also insane. But the point was, she like, so my friend presented the song to me and my first note was like, okay, I love this. And I think that we should definitely like put this in the band. My one concern is like when we become famous, like we're making fun of ourselves.
Oh my God.
So like, incredible. I truly thought that like, okay, when the album comes out, I don't want people to think we're phony.
Oh my God. Wow.
So it was deep, like and I would like make these seals to myself and like sign them in lipstick that like I would try as hard as I could to become a pop star. Which is interesting because when I hear about Taylor Swift's path, like she was like obsessed in a similar way and look where she is.
Wow. Yeah, she's Taylor Swift. Yeah.
That's
true. I know, she's Taylor Swift.
At a certain point, did you start to have career anxiety, like I'm not where I want to be because I'm not Taylor Swift?
I mean, all the time. I still text my brother and I'm like, can you believe that I'm not Taylor Swift? And he's like, yes.
What does your brother do?
My brother and I are like pretty similar. Yeah, he like does freelance writing and he does poetry and music and stuff. So
I love
artist
it.
Yeah,
he lives in Portland and
Oh wow,
it's so rad.
Artist
amazing.
Is your mom artistic?
No, not really. She was like really sporty, and then we just like didn't get that at all. Like, I'm horrible at all sports. I tried so many of them and I failed. So
rollerblading, you're a star.
You seem pretty, I mean, you're building furniture and rollerblading. I feel like that's pretty active.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You're pretty sporty.
I am like weirdly good at rollerblading. But that's like team sports, like no. But
okay. Do you enjoy a solo sport, you know, like dance, swim? You know, rock climbing. It's good.
I took dance for like 14 years and was really bad.
But I took dance and I was really bad too.
I need to take dance and I need to stick with this because I'm going to be on Broadway and I'll need dance skills.
Right.
So I was like, this is something I just have to do for my inevitable career.
Right.
Of course.
Did you want to do theater like in college? What did you study in college?
Yeah, I thought theater was going to be it. I had a brief moment senior year of high school where I was like, okay, maybe I should just follow through with the pop star thing still. And I should like go to Berkeley and do songwriting. Wow. And my boyfriend at the time was like super like stoner musician. We would like play songs together. Like we would sing like Mad World at concerts. Like it was so depressing. Like all the kids would come up and they would like have their cute songs. We'd be like, all around you are familiar faces. With like full eyeliner. Like it was so dramatic. Like we were not okay. And we would always like bring out the guitar at like family events and stuff. Be like, time for Blue Monday, the band. So we were a real bummer. But I was like, yeah, so Wyatt and I will like go on tour and we'll like become famous with our band and I'll just like not go to college. And my dad was actually like weirdly down with this. Not so much the boyfriend thing, but he was like, yeah, if you want to like be a songwriter, then you should like pursue that. Right. But I had already was like in too deep in theater. Mm-hmm. So I was like, maybe this will be easier. And I was like, I'm also such a good actress. So it'd be like hard to waste that.
It sounds like your only choice was to be in the show, remember when the Green Day musical came out?
Oh my God, American Idiot.
Yeah, American Idiot. Yeah. That would have been your dream, Kim.
I was literally obsessed with American Idiot. I would play it every day.
Literally was that obsessed album, with Green Day. So yeah. I've seen them so many times in concert. It's like sickening.
It's so sickening. Embarrassing because American Idiot is like their worst album, right?
Everybody I know. It's like, I mean, let me tell you something. I absolutely love it. Every last minute. But I understand that it is the worst, but like I think the next one kind of sucks. Like the even newer one.
Yeah.
21 Guns, fair. Like that shit.
That, but 21st that Century song, Breakdown, though, yeah. 21 Guns in the musical, you know, when you have like a song that's okay and then they put it into the musical version, it's way better. Like Jagged Little Pill, the music that they did, some of it was so fucking good.
So good.
But like 21 Guns, they made it, they harmonized it. It was so beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. I believe it. I have no doubt.
It actually was.
Yeah.
Waking Up When September Ends was also like my anthem to walk around and like be depressed in the hall.
Like, I would play it.
Yeah.
I would play it on the piano and I'd be like, these are the exact songs that I want to write. Like incredible. I was such a bummer. Like I would just light a candle on the piano in my living room and play the saddest songs imaginable every night. And like Joni Mitchell, like I was just going.
Yes, Joni Mitchell. Like,
yeah. And I was like, this is what I'll be. I'm just going to be like a sad piano girl.
Love it.
And then I did theater instead, which ultimately I think was a huge mistake.
Always, I get it. I mean, always. You know,
you're looking at two theater gals.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We love, I mean, I love theater.
I hated theater college. I hated the whole thing.
You do really that in undergrad?
Yeah, I tried. So I auditioned for like 13 schools. And it was torturous and it was like a bad time in my family. So it was like, I felt so bad because they had to like travel around with me for all these auditions and like they were expensive. And I also like didn't have my full heart in it. You know, like I would see these kids that would be so excited to audition and they would be like working on their song over and over and over again. And I would just be like, well, this is just what I have to do, you know, to have this dream career. Right. And they would give you that speech, you know, how they would always be like, and only 5% of people get into this college. And if you don't live and die and sign your blood for the stage, then why are you here? And I'd be like, I don't know. I feel like there's lots of things I could do, like be a pop star.
Yeah. So
I auditioned for a bunch of schools and I got into like not a lot. And I went to Marymount for 2 years.
Oh, Marymount Manhattan College, that one?
Marymount Manhattan College, yeah, for acting for 2 years.
Wait, when did you graduate? What year?
I didn't graduate. So okay. I went for 2 years. I hung out with like mostly just my roommates and like weirdos that I met like around the neighborhood and not the college. Like okay. I would just hang out in the Upper East Side and like I was
the weirdos
weird.
Of the Upper East Side.
It was a weird time.
That's like that's like kind of a weird school a little bit. Like
it was
right?
weird and I wasn't like in the mindset yet, I think, for that kind of environment where it was like, you know, we would do the scenes and people would like change the words of Tennessee Williams and it would like piss me off and I would get so mad about it. And then they'd be like, it's not about the dialogue. It's about, you know, the acting and the emotion behind it. And I would just like be like, what? No one's even learning this. And they always give you those scenes that are like, oh, you're going to play a 42-year-old woman who's sad about not having enough sex with her husband. And I'm like, I'm 19.
Yeah, I know.
You know? Like, I don't know what you're telling me to do here. I haven't lived yet. So I would get pissed about that. And then the way Marymount's cut system works is like, if they don't think you're good enough for classical training, then they cut you out.
Wow.
So they were like, you know what, you kind of suck and we don't like you. I lost it. Like I was in the office and I was sobbing and I was like, well, joke's on you because I'm not going to stay at the school anymore. And they were like, no, you can stay. Like, we're not kicking you out of school. Like you can just be in the regular theater program, not the VFA. And I was like, no, you're going to lose all your money. You kicked me out.
Wow.
Like I'm not coming back here. And I was so annoying. And I did. I held up on my promise and I did not go back. Wow. And I took a year off and I was like, look, everything's going to be fine. I'm going to take a year off school. I'm going to live in Williamsburg and I'm going to audition every single day and I'm going to get something and then I'm going to be famous and it's going to be cool.
Love it.
And again, my dad was like, sure. I mean, this sounds like a great plan.
That's incredible.
Right.
And I understand it because at the time he was probably like, okay, if she's really passionate about this, then this is an opportunity that most people would love to have, you know, to get like time to audition stuff. But instead, I just like worked at Lush Cosmetics for like so many hours. And I like was so passionate about working at Lush. Like,
I love Lush, by the way. It's so good.
Insane. Like to work there, like you're making like $8 an hour and you're selling like thousands of dollars worth of product an hour.
That's
and you're
so
like
sad.
Fully manic. Like we'd be like, oh my God, hello. I love your sweater. Come see all of our products today. We have sparkly glitter bombs.
God.
We can smell it. Like, and it was so out of my comfort zone and it just forced me to like get up in people's faces and like shove things in their noses. And like,
wow.
Yeah. It was like really weird. It was.
You're saying it was the greatest thing ever.
No, it was such a nightmare. Like at first, I loved it because I was like, "Oh, I'm making money, and like I can shop at Forever 21 now." Like that was like my ultimate goal was to be able to shop at Forever 21.
Right.
And
I still shop there.
Same.
It's closed
so
down.
I fucking love it. No, it's open. It's open in Times Square.
I thought they closed down. They're done.
Oh no! They are open in Times Square, and I
maybe
went there
just
recently.
Maybe the one in Union Square. Okay, so hit us with you have another
another memory.
So back to my like obsession with stardom. I was in a bunch of theater shows as a kid, and one of them was at this like little tiny community theater, and it was Sound of Music, which like
classic.
Is a great show to be in when you're a kid because you're treated like royalty because it's like an all adult cast. And then you're one of the seven kids and they're just like, oh, the cuties. Like it was so fun. They're like, oh my God, the talent, you know, you're going to be something one day, kid. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. And there was like one day when like one of the kids who had the solo, he had strep throat, but he was still in the show because we were like, we have no other Kurt. Like it wasn't professional enough to have an understudy. So like he just had to do it with strep throat. And they were like, well, he has strep, so like him, you can do the solo. And I was like, oh my God.
Yes.
And it just happened to be the day that like all my friends were there. So they're like, oh my God, Kim is a solo. It was great. But one thing that was bad about it, and I still like feel guilty about this to this day.
The kids,
I'm ready for it.
I gave the kids strep. No, it's worse than that. So I think I had this like idea that I was this super professional kid and that I was like really mature for my age and I was ready for like, you know, Broadway and I could be in film and it would be fine and everything. Like, you know, those interviews you watch of like Lea Michele when she was 8 and she looks like a robot. Like she's like, yeah. And I go and I get my headshots and then my mom picks me up from school and it's like, whoa, this kid is like not okay.
Yeah, and she's still not okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's for sure. That's funny because my boyfriend actually saw Lea Michele at a bar once, and she like did a toast to herself. Like she raised her glass and she's like, "Everyone, serious? Cheers to me." So
she's, oh my god, she's such a narcissist, and she's also racist. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So I believe it. So we did the show. We didn't get paid. But I didn't care because I didn't know that that was a thing that you could do when you act. I didn't know you could get paid. I thought you just did it for the love of the stage.
Right.
And so there was this scene where we had to like, you know, we're escaping and we have all of our stuff like at the end of the movie when they all escape. Mm-hmm. So we had all these suitcases and we came like around the theater. So we would come like down the aisles through the audience and then we would get on stage and sing the final song that's like, your heart wants to beat, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the littlest one, she was like 5 years old and she was like a child prodigy. She memorized all of her lines in like an hour. It was insane. She accidentally like knocked her suitcase on the wall and it was so loud. Like,
oh shit.
And I didn't know that it was her. I thought it was like the guy that played the 13-year-old, and I was like, oh, the guy that plays 13-year-old bang the suitcase against the wall. And I just said, like, I thought that we were out of earshot from the audience, but I just was like, nice to the kid.
Aww.
And I also was like not mature enough to realize that like the audience needs to be in the show at all times. Like they're not interested in like our backstage drama and like they need to like suspend their disbelief and everything to be fully immersed in the show. I was just like, no, this is cool. Like I'm cool. I'm on stage. They'll think it's so cool that they can hear what's going on backstage. And like, I made a funny joke to Kurt or whatever. So I was like, nice. And we did our song, we go backstage, everything's fine. The next day we show up because we had a show every single day for the whole summer and then two shows on the weekends. And the guy that plays the captain, I was so mad. Like I honestly felt that he was like my real dad and that he was gonna like burn the theater down. And he was like, we all need to have a talk because this is a show where there's adults and there's also children, but we expect the children in the show to behave like adults. And yesterday there was an incident and I was like, oh my God, this is about me. And he was like, I don't know which one, but one of the children made a sarcastic comment.
Oh my God.
That could be heard from the audience. And I was like, oh my God, like, do I need to confess? Like, this is going to ruin my life. I'm going to get fired from the show. Like, I'm never going to be a celebrity. Like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
How will I be a pop star?
Incredible.
I have never felt like so much guilt. It was so awful. And I like didn't end up saying anything. And then the little one, the 5-year-old who actually knocked the suitcase was like, it was me. And I was like, no, stop. Don't say anything.
Oh my God, this little bitch.
I know. Wow. She was like trying to blow my cover. She was 5. And
oh my God.
I was like 12. Like I was old enough to like, you know, incredible, keep it together. And I should have said something and apologized, but I was just like,
just let it go.
No, I hope that they never find out that it's me. And I like cried. So they probably knew. And
oh my God.
Incredible.
The drama was quickly surpassed because the woman who played Maria was like this hardcore born again Christian. And she told one of the nuns who was Jewish that her children would go to hell. And we were all like, are you kidding me, Maria? Like, what is your fucking problem? So she was like, I can't believe she said that. And we were all like, yeah, we're on your side, nun. Like, we are gonna hang out with the nuns now. And they were like, hey, your kids, like, please, like, stay out of this.
Wait, what's the song? Problem with Maria.
How like, do you solve the problem with Maria?
Yeah, that one actually isn't in it is in the musical. Yeah,
is it? That is awful. What is with born again Christians trying to just eradicate all the Jews?
Yeah, she was a lot. Like, she would sit all the kids down and be like, okay, so here's how you find Jesus in your heart. And I was obsessed with her because I wanted to be like her in every way. I was like, one day I
was she like gorgeous?
This is also community theater, like non-paid, right?
Yeah, I think they got paid, but they were like, they're kids, they don't need money. And to be
that's fucked up, number one.
Right.
It is. That's fucked up. But in this story, I hope that it's community theater where they all get not paid because like she's walking around all high and mighty, just like
I mean, yeah.
She was probably like 22.
She was exactly 22. She had just graduated from college. And incredible. I thought she was like, oh my God, I thought she was
the coolest. Great.
And she was. She was really good, but she definitely wanted us all to be born again Christians. And she'd be like, you need to let Jesus into your heart. And I remember lying in bed and being like, okay, Jesus, like, I'm ready for
come
you.
Come on
like,
in.
You can enter it. Like, I thought it was a physical thing. I was like, my heart is literally open. Like, come into the heart.
Maggie, that's why you read the Bible with your legs spread, because Jesus is supposed to enter you from there.
I didn't feel like I was like a vessel. I was a vessel for the Lord, you know? It's fine. Oh, I get it.
Incredible. But wait, so Kim, because if you were self-claim agnostic in third grade, then you wanted Jesus again?
Like, it was all it? Like based probably because I was like obsessed with this woman. So I was just like, if I want to have your life, then I need to do the cool stuff that you do. And that means being a born again Christian, I guess.
Wow. So really you worship just stardom is what we're getting
that's
here.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it was like, I don't think fame was attached to it so much as that. Like, I just was obsessed with having a career.
Yeah.
I wanted to like make all of my money in the future off of like singing or performance, which I guess is like still the problem, right?
Yeah. So same, exactly. Yep.
This is nothing's changed therapy now.
Yeah.
So
well, we pretend to be psychologists sometimes, but we forget. That's why I'm trying to dissect here.
Yeah, like we don't really like we try to make connections to like the now, but then we are like, oh, what? You know, we don't get it.
We are.
No, we don't really understand. We understand. I mean, listen, you know, a couple of theater majors you're talking to, so
what a mistake.
Yeah, I know, truly. But actually, I
also the greatest
it.
Life like, experiences like yes
it was fun. I mean, like, yes, like my life's in shambles, but you know what, like I just feel like it was a good time, you know.
What a great life experience.
Yeah. Sometimes I think that it was okay, because like if I had done like the songwriting route, I don't know if I would have like started stand up, and I would probably be in the same place where it's like, at least with stand up, you know, you can write, you can
TV,
you can act.
Exactly.
I think with like, if you're focusing solely on music, the music community is very different.
Yeah. That's true. So, but like, you also incorporate music into your comedy. So like, you're doing it all, you know?
I refuse to let it go. Like,
that's right. Like, but it's great, you know? Like, just do it, you know?
But that's what gives you a leg up.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I whip out the piano and people are like, oh no, like this is going to be awful.
But like, who cares? Number one,
so true.
Like truly who fucking cares?
And it's not awful, but the best part is the payoff is because when you're not awful and you're clever and it's actually funny, people are like, yes, this is so much better than watching six dudes talk about their balls.
Yeah. You should just do what brings you joy. You know, like it doesn't matter. Like it just does not matter.
That's nice. And that's where I think I do get like stuck on that, where it's like I need to be, you know, the most like mainstream, what the industry expects. Like it goes back to like when I was a kid, like I'm like, I have to do what Britney Spears is doing or whatever. So I think I still am like that with comedy. I'm like, okay, what is everyone doing? What is everyone talking about? How can I like find the quickest way to make money? Where it's like, no, I'm bad at a lot of things.
Just live your life. Yeah. Also, I want to do what Britney's doing now, which is just fucking
burning down her home gym,
putting on a bathing suit and just like interpretive dancing.
She's crazy. Like, I love her Instagram. It's so delightful because she's insane, you know, like, I love it.
I really
so into it.
All right. You want to hit us with your last mem?
I have two more, right? Cause I don't know. I was counting like this would be four, but it's,
I have lost count. Cause I think we've done a seamless job of
just
transitions.
Seamless segues. I mean, Kim, you don't understand. This is the first time we've ever felt this way. So about segues.
That makes me really
segues,
happy.
Segues, baby. However many more you want to do.
Okay, sure. Let's say two more and then that'll be good. Yeah.
So I did do a theme with all of these and they're all about
good. About God.
About pop star, yeah. So one of the things that I learned from watching MTV's, I think it was MTV. Do you remember those shows where they would like be like behind the music? Maybe it was behind the music.
VH1 behind the music. That's right.
Where it would be like, okay, Christina Aguilera, here's what she did to become famous.
Right. Literally, so I was talking about this yesterday. Yeah.
I was obviously obsessed with this. I would spend hours watching it, and then I would convince my parents that like I needed to do those things as well. So I would be like, you know, you have to move me to LA. You have to move me to New York. We have to do something. Like, we can't be in Grafton. They'd be like, no. So that never worked, which like totally makes sense now. But I was like, I can't believe my parents are so selfish and they won't uproot their entire lives for my career. I was also like, I need an agent. And then we like ended up like checking some out, but they were all like, okay, so it's like $2,000 for the package.
Yeah, such bullshit.
Because they do that with kids. And my dad would be like, oh, this is obviously a scam. So, which is like nuts because Taylor Swift's dad was approached by that guy, right? Who was like, okay, can I have $100,000 to start a record label and Taylor will be my first client? And her dad was like, yeah, totally. Which is like,
and that's what happened.
Yes, that's literally what happened. My dad would be like, no, this guy is trying to rob me.
Yeah, that's so wild how that worked out for her.
It's really, really nuts. So I would like try and do everything that they did on Behind the Music. And one of the things was singing competitions. Mm. So I was like, I'll get discovered at a singing competition. I'll get an agent there. And then from there, I'll get an album and everything will work out. So I like did my first singing competition, was like, it's the radio contest. And I actually like didn't expect for it to go anywhere, but you know, it was like small town Massachusetts and there's not a lot going on. So there was like three rounds and there was 100 kids in each round and then they would cut it down from there. And so I got to the finals and I was so pumped and they picked like three and there's three of us left.
Oh my God.
And there was like, they picked like three songs. You have to pick three songs to give them. And then they like pulled out of a hat for you to do it. So I had like Reflection from Mulan, which was like,
yes.
Everyone loves that song.
Right? Oh my God. So good.
And I had like some Leanne Rimes, like bullshit song and like something else. And I remember the girl before me did like, I believe the children are the future. I was like, fuck, like she's going to win. Like, what a bitch.
She's got a theme. All right.
And like, this was such a big deal. Like, I was so excited. My parents like invited all their friends. They were like, we're going to like watch, Kimberly like do this weird singing competition. I was like, hell yeah. So like, I go out and I like sing Mulan and I'm like laying it on thick, like walking along the stage. And it was like, oh yeah. Like, I am Britney. Mm-hmm. And it went well. Like, it was really exciting. And I won. I was pumped.
Yes.
Won. This is amazing.
And I was like, this is amazing. And so the prize was that because it was hosted by this radio station, you get like an album. You get to record an album at like a local studio and you get to pick four songs and they'll do, you know, like the art for you and everything, and you get 100 copies. So I was like, okay,
amazing.
I'll get 100 copies and I'll submit it to like Music Row in Nashville. But what happened instead was I like showed up at the studio and this guy was clearly like a chain smoker.
Yeah,
had like fully like phoned it in on his life, like I don't know what. And I was so excited, like I came in like, you know, coming off the bus from Idaho, like it was like I was ready for stardom. And I just remember like walking along, like it was like wood paneling with like all of these girls that like all these like little like teen blondes, so, you know, like their album art and stuff. And I was like, there's a theme. So I get in the booth and I'm singing, like I was 11 and I was singing Can't Fight the Moonlight, which is like under a lover's sky.
Yes.
With you. And he made me record like double track, so I had to like match my voice again and then do it over it. So it was very weird. And I did like Can't Fight the Moonlight, which is super sexual, and then Part of Your World from Little Mermaid.
So good.
And then like another Disney song and something else. And he like didn't do the art, I had to do it. So I did this like photo shoot on the rocks with like a crop top, like,
oh,
you know,
my God,
posing,
11. Here's
like
all,
my hand,
I love it.
And I was just like, this is gonna be the time. I remember I wanted to do it on my bed and my mom was like, you want to do a cover shoot on your bed at 11? Like, absolutely not. Like, what is wrong with you? And this is like where I think like I must have been psychotic. So I print out all of the album covers and like stuff them in. I have 100 copies of my album, which, you know, it was okay. Like it was a little kid singing songs that were written for adult women. So it wasn't good, you know, except for the Disney ones probably.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And I handed them out at my school. Like I thought I was like giving
Wow.
this is, and this is where I'm like, okay, everything makes sense until that. Right. And, and I was like, yeah, okay. Like I also made everyone listen when I was on the radio. So I had to leave school and I was on the radio for like this interview. And then I came back and I was like, okay, I'm airing at noon. Like we have to listen to it. And my science teacher put it on, like she put on the interview, which is also insane.
Wow. And
I was like, here are you guys, like as your Christmas present, like it's my album.
I like got you this.
That's incredible.
And so not only did I do that once, which is like, wow, what a narcissist weirdo. I did it again. I recorded another album, a Christmas album this time, of all like Christmas covers. And this was in high school. So this was even more embarrassing.
Oh my God.
And I handed them out to everyone at my school. I was like, this is my Christmas album. You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Oh my God.
Like,
Kim, nuts. I love it.
Sally Ann loves this. She like will eat me to shreds about the fact that I did this.
But honestly though, Kim, like I would have been like, she's so cool. Like she doesn't give a fuck, you know, like, and honestly, like that kind of audacity that you grew up with, like, I think it's important to hold on to that, you know,
confidence, baby.
It all left me. I never asked to be on shows. Like I never submit things to places. Like it's so crazy. It's like, why did I need that as a kid when I totally should have had it now? Like I wish I was one of those.
I think it's in you. I think it's in you.
It's in your heart. And so is Jesus. So why don't
that's right. You opened your heart up. So
open it up and you'll find that confidence.
Honestly, plus, I swear to you, like if you would have been in high school and handed me your Christmas album, I would have been like, fuck, I better listen to this right away. Like I'm totally down to like eat this shit up. And I don't know. I'd probably be jealous.
It was like a very Christian album too. Oh, like it had like Mary, did you
know? Do you still have it? Do you still
have it? Can we get a copy for the holidays this year?
Oh my God. Of course I have it. My mom plays it every fucking Christmas. Oh, embarrassing. She'll be like, and now it's time for Merry Little Christmas by 15-year-old Kimberly Nair.
Oh my God, Kim, that's amazing.
I would love to hear that. You should post that.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so cool.
I cannot.
Honestly, that's so hilarious. Like it's just, you have to like do something with it. Hand them out again, you know, at comedy, at shows, at mics.
Yeah. Yeah,
park mics.
I did like bring back that insane kind of confidence when my British boyfriend broke up with me when I was 23 and I fully lost my mind. And it was like the worst breakup ever. It was like not, it was like my friends were like, are you all right? Like this isn't a normal reaction to a breakup. It like fully wasn't. Like I didn't like, I was not, I was like drinking at like 9 a.m. Anyway.
Oh God,
I get it.
Which is like, oh, everyone does
still
that
do
now,
it.
Right?
Still do it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, don't not going through a breakup, just doing it, you know.
But I would like record these sad fucking covers on my keyboard in my bedroom and then post them to YouTube as if it wasn't like the most embarrassing thing to be doing. Like incredible. I would be like, say something. I'm kidding.
Yeah. So good.
I would caption it like, oh, sad songs for sad souls. Like
wow.
And I was 23. Like I think about how there are comics who are 23 who like are like successful and good and cool to hang out with, and I was doing that shit. Like, are you kidding
me? Oh my God,
me?
Who cares? Whatever. Like,
when did you start doing stand-up?
Like,
I started officially, I think, when I was like 25. So it was kind of late, right?
Me too. Oh, yeah. I started when I was like 24. Yeah. But Kim, I can't wait to find this YouTube channel. Yeah,
oh my God. Amazing. No, they're all like fully blocked. Like, I can't.
Oh no.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, no, I would love to see that as well.
Well, Kim, that's amazing. Do you have one last memory?
Yeah, hit us with your last.
You want to share?
Oh, I did have. Oh, I already talked about the Ouija board.
Spooky.
Well, we were kind of talking about this earlier, so it's related. But okay. I was so like dark and dramatic as a child in my diaries, like you were saying, Maggie.
Yes.
That I like alarmed a babysitter one time.
Like, oh no.
So I was so afraid of ghosts that I went through this phase where I like refused to stay home without my parents there, even though my brother was fully old enough to watch us. I was just like, no, I can't do it. Like the ghosts are gonna get us. So
oh my God, I love it.
And it was like weird. Like I was too old. Like I was in like fifth grade. Like I could have stayed home alone fine. But my mom would be like, oh my gosh, she like will not like be home without us. So I'm just gonna like hire a babysitter because this is so annoying. And I thought the babysitters were cool because I was like, oh, they're my friends, like they're teenagers, like we're playing like Spit and this is great.
I love Spit.
It's so fun.
It was so fun. And I would just like teach them how to play Spit and they'd be like, this is weird because you're old enough to stay home alone and I'm getting paid to hang out with this like 10-year-old, whatever. So I was reading her my diary and I was just I'm 9 years old and I'm about to turn 10 and I just can't believe that I'm going to be double digits and that my childhood is over. And then it was like this full like rant about how precious childhood is and how I'm going to miss this innocent time. And I'm going to like look back and I hope that I like experienced it and lived it enough. And this babysitter was like, oh my God, like she is not okay.
She's gonna go out, start drinking and having sex.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And she told my mom, she was like, your kid is weird.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And actually, I think she ended up like curing me of my ghost fear though, because then I was like, oh, I can't bring these babysitters over anymore because they're just gonna judge me for my diary. So
the lesser of two evils. That's incredible.
Oh my God. I make my niece read me her diary all the time and she's 10 and it's like fucking weird. I love it. I'm like, I'm so into it. And then I read some when she's not looking to, cause she's like, I can only read you the normal entries. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
I won't say on a podcast what she said, but it was hilarious.
I definitely didn't show her like the blood pact where I like, you know, signed my name and lipstick and like kissed the pages that I would like become so famous good. No matter what. Like I was like wow. It was weird stuff.
Okay.
I love it.
I remember what I was going to say. Sorry. I went because Kim, I think you should do this. You should make a mockumentary of your childhood self, but you should play your 15-year-old self. And then with the whole creating, no, nobody? Okay.
No, I love
well,
it.
Well, just explain more. I'm just like, I'm intrigued.
Like the whole competition and the giving like mockumentary of you being a superstar. You know, when you watch mockumentaries and people are like, yes. I'm famous and like, but you should do it as 15-year-old girl, but you should play your 15-year-old self.
That would be hilarious.
Does that make sense?
That's like pretty much what my pilot's about because I'm obsessed.
Oh, still. Then there. Okay, you're already doing it. Great.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, mockumentary sounds fun too, though.
I know that we're probably going to wrap up soon, but I just want to bring this up because I think it's so interesting because we were hanging out the other night and you were telling us about your synesthesia. Oh, and I would just love for you to share a little bit on that.
Yeah. I was telling my boyfriend about this the other night and he was so bored and he wanted me to stop so much. Like it was like he did not want to listen to
you
anymore.
Yeah. So
he's right next to you now. He has headphones in, but yeah. It's like it's one of those things where like if you can't visualize it, then it is just so boring. But
I disagree, but okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really, very intrigued.
I like when people are interested because it is another thing that has ruined my life dramatically.
So interesting. You're the
Go
third,
on.
And you're the third synesthetic person I've met.
Yeah, I mean it's hard. Mine isn't like cool. It's not like numbers have colors or letters have colors. I can't smell days of the week or like I don't do any of the smell stuff. I have time space synesthesia, which is like you visually see time, not like hallucinating, it's not in front of you, but it's like ever since I was a kid, ever since I like understood the concept of Tuesday or February or age at all, it has a visual representation that immediately comes to my head like you would any image. And it's the same grid and it's the same map and it looks the same. And what is cool, what validated me so much when I looked it up, was that like a lot of people who have this see the same map. So like it's, you know, the same corners of their year. My like year is like this weird square and every month has like landscapes associated with it with different memories of each month. So like July, like, you know, it will be replaced with like a recent memory. So like right now it's like Miami, which was a couple years ago. So it's like, wow. It's very weird. But the way that it's ruined my life is that age is a specific timeline. So it goes from like, you know, infancy to like 100, and then it kind of veers off. And there's all these like, you know, slopes and weird landscapes and divots and corners, and everything that I've lived is shaded in. So when I was like 10, I would see the grid up to 10, and then everything in front of it was like this like kind of scary path. And then if someone now is like, oh, I'm 23, my brain will immediately bring up the image of, you know, where 23 is. And then my memories associated with 23 are sort of like in like a filing cabinet.
That's amazing.
And it's annoying because I'm almost 30 and I'm like, oh, I can like see that I'm about to enter that different
landscape thing.
Because 30 is a twist. So
Shit.
Oh my God. This is so fascinating. Cool.
I love it. And then Kim texted me the map because you can Google it. Like, because other synesthetic
I gotta Google this right now. This is incredible.
Yeah. So, but, like, the year map that you get when you Google it is the same year as mine. The days of the week are usually the same. It's like a hook. And then I also learned that like the day is one too, like, you know, from the morning to the night is like a different map.
Oh shit.
This is a superpower, but also it's a condition.
Yeah, I think it's a condition.
A disorder.
It's
labeled as a condition.
My brother and I both have the exact same one. We both see the year the same. We see the days of the week similarly.
That's and wild. You're a superhero.
My dad and my mom just like don't understand it at all, like not even a little bit.
Oh, I wonder where this came from.
What the fuck does that mean? Like,
yeah, that's what have you ever heard of synesthesia?
I really haven't. That's why I'm looking this up.
It's like when people mix their senses, you know. So I have a friend I have a friend who can taste colors and like smell colors, and then I have another friend who like sees auras with different people. Like, she's like, that person's green, that person's yellow.
But like, when you're eating pizza, like, are you experiencing pizza, or is it like a triangle?
I think you're eating pizza, but I think maybe there's also like a vibe where you're like, I'm eating this triangle.
I'm eating red triangle.
The smell one is like wild to me, but yeah. I'm sure mine seems wild to people that don't have it. I genuinely thought just like everyone saw the map that way. But
that's
my brain is
crazy.
I really did. Like, I would ask my friends, I'd be like, hey, how do you see February? And they'd be like, I have no idea what you're saying. And I'd be like, what does February look like to
you? Yeah, right.
So it's so weird to me that like people don't have that. Like, yeah. I'm like, how do you plan things? Like, where do you see like your schedule for the week and stuff? Because when I have like, you know, a show or something, I'll like move it into its little
space. Oh my God, wow. In your head.
Yeah, but it's like annoying.
So do you have a planner? You don't need a planner.
You don't need Google Calendar.
I mean, I still put stuff in my calendar, but it's like, yeah, it definitely was always easier. It also makes memories a lot stronger, though. So that's a bummer.
Wow. Mm. That's why your stories were so beautifully detailed. Thank you.
Yeah, these were good. And, you know, another, on a side note, like, it probably makes sense now that you're explaining this, like, that in your diary, you were like, oh, I'm turning 10. And, like, because it was a twist in your mouth.
10's a twist. Yeah. And it's weird when you're a kid, too, because you see, like, the future as this, like, really scary tunnel. Like, it always looked like like Coraline or something. Like, it's like weird.
That's horrifying.
And it's really scary. And it's also like visual, like my brain just automatically has visuals for everything. So as things are like really, like when someone says shit hits the fan every single time, it's like the same exact image and it's disgusting. So like everything is so like.
Wait, so are idioms for you like seen?
Yeah, it's like if anything can have an image associated, like if I can imagine a space, then I'll imagine it. So like when people are telling a story, everything just like immediately shows up. If they're like, I'm in a hospital, like I'll see the chairs and like what, you know, people look like in the hospital.
This must be why you're such a good writer then. Because
you have thoughts and that's rare.
Because you have thoughts and you can visualize them. Wow. And you can identify the color and shape and everything.
Yeah. When someone's telling me a story, I'm just like, well, I see nothing and hear nothing. What's going on?
I think sometimes it actually can hinder me because I assume that everyone is filling in these images when they're not. So I'll write a scene and I'll be like, oh, everyone knows, you know, that she's sitting down and
that
the couch looks like that or something.
Interesting.
But but then when someone says, I don't know what that is, you're like, oh, well, I'll explain it. And you got that.
I mean, I try. Yeah.
Kim, darling, what a delight it was to have you.
So fun.
Why don't you go ahead and plug us in, baby? What can we find on your social?
Where can we find you?
Where can we find you?
Yes, you can find me on the TikTok, which I have newly discovered.
Oh, you would crush TikTok.
That's great. It's
very fun. I love TikTok. I've been putting a lot of weird songs on there. Kimberly DeNiro is my TikTok. My Instagram is Kimbird. KIMBERRD, which is really annoying. I should change it. And my Twitter is Kimberdin.
I love it.
So
amazing.
Know.
Thank you so much,
everybody.
Thanks, guys.
You're a delight. Yay. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.